I don't have my gavel tonight, I have my fountain pen. I'd like to call the June 5th, 2019 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees to order. Sophie is not here, she's out sick with a migraine headache, she told us this afternoon, so she will not be here. Eve, are there any public comment speakers today? No public speakers today? Okay. Do we have a library union here? Is everybody at the Warriors game?
Yeah.
All right, okay, let's go.
And we should be there.
All right, we'll get going. No comments from the unions? Okay. Any comments from the Board of Library Trustees?
I'll let them go first, I'll go last.
No, can you get the game up on the screen?
No, John, we cannot.
I don't have a basket on.
Okay, Judy? No, he just was asking about the game.
I have a couple of things I'd like to share with folks. Take my pass. First off, in this magazine that was in the paper a couple of weeks ago, Bookish, I don't know if you all saw it, but it highlighted the San Jose Library, and they have an excellent partnership with San Jose State and the like. But what really intrigued me was, I'll pass this around for those of you who want to see, how they use art and they use local artists and whatnot to exhibit there, and it sounds like it's very exciting and it's very innovative. So I thought that would be interesting to folks. The second piece I'd like to share, would you help me with this, please? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have it each place very long. All the trustees have it. This is an article about what's happening in Contra Costa. You want to take one and pass?
Sure.
So in Contra Costa Library, what they're doing over the summer with young people. And I thought it was very intriguing, some of the things that they are beginning to do, and also offering lunch, I think, at one of the sites. The second article that is being passed around, are you folks getting it on this side as well? Okay. Is another article that was in the New York Times, and it's about a 27-year-old librarian who dethroned the Jeopardy champion who won over $2.4 million. And I just thought, yay! So I thought everyone would be happy to see that Emma Bachner, I think her name is, I think I'm pronouncing her name correctly, is a Chicago librarian. So I thought that, well, maybe we'll have a millionaire librarian at some point. But I just thought that that was a very interesting article that is very timely to have a librarian on the national kind of scene and having access to information. And also I am learning that I think it's San Jose State, help me with this, San Jose State has a program on library science,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Library science / information.
Yes.
How is it? Library science and information?
But information services.
Yeah, but I think they're combining the skills of a librarian and also technology. So that's just going to show you the future, where we're headed, and why technology is so important. And that dovetails with the new program that we had, what is it, ILS?
The Girls Get Cooking?
No.
Oh, the new ILS.
ILS,
yes.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So I just thought I'd highlight those two things. And then I think we would be remiss in not acknowledging our chair, who was also affirmed by City Council, and her appointment for a full term, Diane Boyd. So we wanted to acknowledge that.
Thanks.
Okay, so that's it for me.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Amy or John?
Nothing for me.
Both Amy and I are presenting a little later, so we'll just move right along to the consent calendar. Anybody need to discuss anything about security engineers or the public contract? If not, I'd like a motion to John?
I will move the consent. And that is absent the meeting room policy, because that's been taken out.
That's correct. Okay. John, motion?
I'll second.
Thank you, Judy. All in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Director recruitment process. Elliot?
So actually, Danielle, this is under Danielle's name, however, I will go ahead and say that one of the things that we did pass about a year ago, something that clarified that the board president would lead the process. One of the things that we did in the meantime was assess and look back at all the different processes that have been used.
Mm-hmm.
And the board, you and I, board president, I looked at those and identified that it would be useful to create a new agenda item to clarify the process to the community about how we will be interacting with the executive recruitment panel. And so this is simply an update to that to ensure that there is transparency.
Right. And it is, in fact, how the recruitment process has been handled through the last couple of times. And the only sort of interesting discussion about it is we discussed, obviously, whether or not to have one or two board members on the group. And if we have two, everything we do has to be agendized, called at a meeting. So it keeps us much more nimble if one of us is on that group, which is the reason why we're doing that. And we will, of course, work carefully to have clear communication between me and the board and the panel throughout. I don't think there's any problem with that.
Absolutely. So Danielle and I would be serving as an advisory to the board, as well as to ensure that we comply with California state law.
Mm-hmm.
And personnel regulations. City personnel regulations.
Judy?
I think we need to make it clear to the public that it's not unusual for an acting person to be involved in the process, like Elliot at this point, because Elliot does not make the decision, so it is not a conflict of interest in any way that he would be involved. He's involved in an advisory capacity, I believe it is. And since we are a public entity, we need to be in accord with the personnel processes from the city. And we had the director of human resources for the city, who was also here for one of our previous meetings. So I think we need to clarify that so the public doesn't assume that since because the director is basically making sure that we follow the process and that we work as appropriately with a recruitment firm, but the director does not make the decisions, nor does the acting director make the key decisions about what to do. And so I just think we need to clarify that
thank you.
For the public.
I would just add one thing that Danielle works very, very closely with the City of Berkeley Human Resources Department, who advises her on any question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, every day you're interacting with them to get input. So we coordinate very closely with them. And so that's another route to have that resource available is through Danielle.
Great. Amy?
I have two questions. One is, when I'm reading this, it says to me that this is the three people on this board staff team,
mm-hmm,
are not necessarily the people who are doing the interviews.
No, we will all be doing the interviews, okay, and maybe have many other interviews.
That's to be determined, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I think we're just going to work with the firm to make that process as inclusive as we can.
Okay, so my second question is, if there cannot be another board member, which I understand the reason,
mm-hmm,
could we draft somebody else from the foundation or the Friends to be on this committee? I feel like it's staff heavy.
We can, that was a question, and I have to, we cannot assign work to the friends or the
no,
family.
No, but you can ask.
That may be the case. We cannot assign work to them, so to have the board do an item that is, this is the process, we can reach out to, I think what my understanding of the role of the community groups is going to be in that, the more important processes, rather than shaping that, but actually being involved in getting information about the, from either interacting with the recruitment firm to provide information about what the most vital elements of a director are, how they work with the director, what they'd like to see features of, to help shape questions, or okay. for to be involved in a panel to provide that kind of input. So this, the lack of them being involved in this part of the process is by no means a statement of lack of okay. involvement.
I would certainly not on my part either.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I'd yeah. like to kind of point out that the last successful director hire, the foundation and the friends were involved in the interview process along with other community members.
Absolutely.
And the ones that haven't worked out, the friends and the foundation were not involved, to my knowledge. So let's, I don't think it's wise to do everything the way we've done it in the past because the result has not always been mm-hmm. excellent.
Okay. I don't think we've defined a process just yet, have we?
Nope.
We have not defined a process. We have not defined at what point who's doing what. All of that hasn't even happened yet. So to have any conjecture at this point is really a leap, I feel. So when we reach that point, I think we will be sharing this is the way it will flow. Because I think our intent is, in addition to the friends and the foundation, community patrons will also have sure. some input, thoughts, response, and so forth. And that can be done a number of ways, online as well as informal. There are a host of ways you can do that. But at this point, we have not defined or named the process or the participants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever we do, I think all board members will be a part of the interview process.
Absolutely.
Because we all come from a different vision in terms of questions.
Yes. Well, and the final decision is up to the board. So the board will certainly do the interviewing. All right. Any further discussion on that? To entertain a motion.
Well, excuse me, I'll move action item A.
Okay, thank you, John.
Second.
And Amy, second. Any further discussion?
Uh-uh.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Okay, moving right on to the discussion of the library trustees meeting policy.
Judy, you brought that up.
Well, I thought it might be helpful for us to review the meeting policy mm-hmm. again. I think it's good that we have some members of the public who have it as well. I'd just like to highlight a couple of things on the meeting room policy. On page 2, issuance of permits. I think this is...
No, that's the one that was pulled.
Oh, that was pulled. I'm sorry. So where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to be?
Looks like that.
Where is that one?
It's action calendar item B.
I went the wrong place. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I thought that we should discuss it and review it. Speaker cards, time allotment, and seating time during public. Because I think sometimes when people come before us, they don't really know the process and the procedure. So I think it's helpful that we go over it. And is there a way that we can communicate?
Well, it's in the minutes, and actually, what came to my mind when you brought this up again, Judy, was maybe we could actually have a poster made. I've seen in Calgary, they had in their meeting rooms a poster that just highlighted the three or four main things from the policy about...
Yeah, like they do that at City Council as well.
And City Council, that's the other place. That mm-hmm. Maybe that's a way of reminding ourselves on a weekly or a monthly basis of some of these things.
Yeah, I think that, and I also think that in terms of conduct, I think in the future we may want to consider posting that, because I know at City Council meeting there is a big thing outside before you go into City Council meeting about conduct and so forth. Mm-hmm. Because I think here in Berserkly, as we sometimes say, while we honor free speech, all speech and all behavior is not honorable. So I think we need to, as Diane said, have something posted in terms, it could be right here, however you decide to do it. So when members of the public come in, they'll understand in terms of reasonable expectation and norms for everyone. I just think that would be helpful in the future.
Mm-hmm. Ellie, can you take that up first? Great, thank you very much.
Can
I ask a question?
Sure. Yeah, Bill, John.
Sure, is anything posted in our libraries about, I mean, no food,
yeah,
food
we have
quiet?
We have the rules of use policy posted. However, there is a specific conduct of public in attendance aspect of the meeting
of the
policy,
meeting. Okay.
Which
okay.
has a which lot is, of overlap, which, but it's much more specific.
It is, right. Right.
So yes, there are times when people are just disruptive, and the main reason, other than illegal activity, all the list of things mm-hmm. are just basically different versions of disruptive
right.
behavior. Yeah. But some of this is more specific. So we can do something that's like a combination of the elements of the rules of use that end up being relevant, as well as the specific things in this. That I mean, you know, we tend not to want to have a massive poster up at all times.
Simple.
So what we would want to do is something that we just bring to this and put up,
exactly.
rather than
that.
Because we don't want to focus on the negative.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we can do that.
Great.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Sometimes we just need to reaffirm these things because it's right in here in terms of decorum. Members of the public who do not follow the rules of decorum may be asked to leave the meeting. And yelling, shouting, so forth and so on. So, and I think we need to just say that when that sort of thing happens, that it is in accord with our meeting room policy.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for picking that up, Elliot. The next item is from me, discussion of Bolt's responsibility in matters involving public programming at the Berkeley Library. And this is just to clarify the question asked last month by the people from the programming area who were asking us to answer their many questions about programming. And because we're trying to be very clear about what we do, which is policy setting as opposed to procedure setting, we wanted to let that group know that now when it comes to questions of when that program actually occurs, where it happens, the time of day, those are really issues that are handled by administration. And I believe, Ellie, you actually have met with the program, with the Play Readers group?
With some members, yes.
Great, so you've taken that up with them.
Indeed, and we've been in communication with them numerous times.
Yeah.
I think I forwarded you some of it.
Great, that was just to clarify that issue, which we'll attempt to do in the future when it comes up. Okay, information.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Information reports. Sophie and Amy and I all took an equity, diversity, and inclusion workshop that was presented by ALA, and we're meant to report back on it. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make about it, Amy?
No.
I think it was done specifically for boards, and I think what they were trying to impress upon us is that trustees do have a role in terms of diversity and equity and inclusion in the library, and it's in these areas that as we look at library policies and procedures, we should be very aware of that and how that plays into our policies, that we need to pay attention to our own makeup and whether we reflect our own community and its diversity in many ways, that we need to encourage equity and diversity training throughout the library, and that even to the extent perhaps of advocating for the formulation of a equity and diversity committee, that I know that you all handle that through human resources, so I know that that's working quite well there. But it was a great program, and it was well worth attending or listening to on the computer. We did not attend. All right, now we get to give you a report on Calgary, complete with. We're going to give you a quick little slideshow, and then Amy and I are going to each make a couple of comments about Calgary. Amy and I went to Calgary for a two-day conference there. Elliot was meant to go, but unfortunately his wife got sick and he could not attend. So. Okay, so Calgary Library is a new library. It opened in October of this year. It was designed by the Snohetta firm of Denmark, and they actually did the Museum of Modern Art in San Francisco. And it's a huge library on two full city blocks. It cost $249 million to
Canadian?
Canadian dollars. All right.
Cheap.
No. Okay, there's on the left is the walkway up to the library, and on the right is the road that, or the walkway that strollers can go up and around. So just a quick look at the, whoops, I didn't mean to do that.
It's huge.
It is huge. Am I not doing this right?
Can I not advance it? You can hit the right arrow.
Maybe down
arrow. No lights, no down.
Usually you can
hit. There we go. There's the entryway with the automated check-in system right there. Four terminals. There are also return spaces throughout the library. I'm just going to zip through this quickly to give you a quick look at it. This is how they tell you where you're going. It's four stories high. On the left is what's by the elevators with symbols and words. And on the computers throughout the library are pictures of each of the floors. And you can actually press where you want to go or where your meeting room is, and the area will highlight so you know where you're going. The children's area is a full two blocks long, and it runs from sort of infant stuff through kids stuff, and it's play with everything to do there, from science stuff to music stuff to art stuff. Jump here, do that. Kids art all over the place. They've moved a lot of kids' books into these little trolleys that move around the library. They also have a full set of these things in a Dewey Decimal and a picture book system, but they find in these sorts of cases that 75% of the items circulate, whereas off the shelves, 28% circulate. It is very child friendly. This is the cafe at the end of the second floor. Food and drink is allowed in the library and allowed throughout the library, and there are huge seating areas all over for people to be. In that area, they have this is a short story dispenser. You could have a 1 minute, 3 minute, or 5 minute short story dispensed to you by pressing that button, all written by to read while you're having your coffee, and they're all written by Calgarians. There's an artist, a historian in residence at all time in the library. There's an artist in residence at all time in the library. They're each connected to, let me move along here. wonder why we're not. Let's see if we can go back here. They're all connected to, or each of them is connected to a room like this, where they meet with people, they do their own writing, they do programs throughout the day, they work with volunteers to work with kids and whatnot. There's also a Native American in residence at all times, and they do a lot of teaching and programming. This person had was doing the TPE.
They call them elders in residence, I recall.
Elders in residence, and the library is very clear that it's on library land, and every program, every meeting, whatnot, begins with a Native American blessing. And throughout the library, in every area, kids area and whatnot, there are Native American influences. This is a beautiful buffalo sculpture that's made out of Native American words.
You know, it's a hard habit to break. They're not Native Americans.
Oh, they're not?
Well,
they're Native
people. Well, I suppose
the Americans.
I call them indigenous people.
All right, great. At the end of that day. This is their local history area, and they've pulled all of the local history out of its hiddenness, and it's all out and available to the public to use. Throughout are these terminals everywhere in the library where you can find where your program is, search in the catalog, you can actually sign yourself up to become a member, you can find out what all the other locations are. But as you'll notice up in that right-hand corner, there's a thing that says Get Assistance, and you press that, and library staff is throughout the library wearing these blue jackets, and each one of them has the library catalog in their hand on a phone from the library or an iPad, and they've done away from with public service desks because they find that that barrier was just too forbidding. They have many, many more questions come to them now, and they've actually worked with a lot of marketing firms and whatnot, and they have routes that they walk through their department so that they see people where they are, because marketing says that you probably have to look a person in the eye 8 times before they'll ask you a question. So they're out getting those looks so that the patrons will ask them questions. Throughout the library are, this is for you, Jay, people where people can get their own library cards, check in their own books, check out their own books, return those books on the, throughout the library. 940 terminals throughout the library for patrons to use, as well as about 60 catalogs to check out. Huge, beautiful seating areas throughout. You'll notice this. Notice there's Amy there peeking out. None of the stacks are higher than 5 feet tall. They're all lit internally with LED lights so that you can see very clearly, and it's meant to highlight the vistas and the light throughout the library.
Plus, you can see the beautiful light coming in through the windows as well. It's very light in there everywhere.
I think it must really, really matter during those cold Calgary winters.
Probably, yes.
This is a fisheye. It looks like a painting, but it's actually several thousand books with linen covers that have been placed in this place meant to be a fisheye. And actually, as you walk by it, the eye follows you. It's just fascinating. Throughout, there are lots of art areas where you can peek in these little peek holes, and the artist will tell you what they've done and why. At each end of the library, there are these beautiful windows looking out onto Calgary and lots of seating space. So you're right in the heart of the city. This library was built in an old part of the city which had fallen into prostitution and drugs, and it was meant to be the real linchpin now for a whole new development that's coming in that area. And it has. This is for you, Kathy. Their fundraising was done in all of these windows, and there are thousands of them. So you or your family could choose a quote or name your kids or list your whole family or do whatever. You can't see it.
You can see it in the furthest one on the right that's vertical. Yeah. You can't read it, but that is somebody's tribute there. And as the day progresses, different ones get lit up?
They've done a lot of things to get people to check out books in a variety of ways. So there are books always in the old Dewey Decimal System and whatnot, but here's a whole bunch of fiction that's arranged by plot, place, and people. They have several nonfiction areas with like 9 major nonfiction categories that are there. Everything to sort of entice people. Ah, let me go back to that one. Wonder, seek, discover, share is a four-word phrase that they use throughout the library in all sorts of displays, programming books, whatnot. They have influential Calgarians that they rotate on a 6-month basis, and each person chosen recommends 3 books for people to check out, and they buy multiple copies of those books. This is their 400-seat entertainment room space. This is the teen area. There were 4 of these huge screen TVs. These guys were watching a soccer game. There were people watching a cooking show behind it. And we were there on a Wednesday and a Thursday from 10 to 4. We were not there on a weekend or after school or very much. So this is, you know, used all the time. There's a programming class going on in the back. This is their return area where the books pop out into these racks. This is one of my favorite things, Jay, for you. The books are in Dewey Decimal order. You shove the top book, the bottom pops up, and the books keep moving up, so you just take the book off the top, and ergonomically it's so much easier to use.
Oh, I like that.
None of this gender neutral banana, no. Everyone is what they use.
Good.
And that's the picture of the windows from the outside. So a spectacular library, and we were there because when they built this library, they decided that they were going to have revolutionary service with this revolutionary new building, and they were talking about how those of us, even without a new building, could start a revolution. So, Amy?
I just wanted to talk about a number, not too large a number, of different things I noticed when we were there. I mean, obviously there's the building, which is unbelievably spectacular. It's beautiful on the outside. It's beautiful and warm and welcoming on the inside. And as Diane mentioned, it has begun to revitalize that entire sector of the city, which was, we were told several times, that that was a place where people did not go after dark, that whole area. And now it's really coming alive, okay. Calgary was an oil and gas-based economy, and now that is sort of tanked, they're trying to get other things in there, and they have a very elaborate sound. Do you remember who it was?
I forget who it was, but I think it might have been Bell. It was
anyway.
Sound and recording studios, and sound studios,
kind of just across the street, and other things. Okay, so another thing I noticed is that they maintain, I don't think all in the central, but in their citywide, 3,000 volunteers. And they are doing, which is a lot, and they are doing real work, not just putting books on the shelf. They do career counseling, they give tours of the building, they help teens decode, they're English language learners, ESL conversation, ESL writing. They bring books to homebound people. They have, that can't be right. I don't know what that is. I can't read my own handwriting. They have libraries in residence that the volunteers are all responsible for. For example, if there's a senior center or assisted living, the volunteer will create a small library for that space and maintain it. They have math coaches, music coaches, tech guides for teens. They engage their volunteers, I think, very strongly, and so they have a huge core of really capable volunteers that are there. Diane already mentioned, I noticed they have a very deep and abiding respect for the indigenous culture that was there before they were. And I think in Canada that is more common than it is in some places here. But that was very present. I was really impressed with the preparation that they had done, not only for the new building, but all the new systems that they wanted to implement in their revolution. They tried out, everything was tried out in the branches in the branches, I think, is most of where it was, and in the original main before. This was all going on concurrently with the planning for the library. And one of the things that I thought made a big difference is the staff was very open to change and to trying new things. And one of the reasons was we got a 5-minute lecture on failure and how failure was not only expected, but not treated in any kind of punitive or embarrassing way. It was just like, okay, that didn't work, let's try something else. And along with that, I noticed that there was a real solid appreciation of each other. The staff appreciated the administration appreciated the staff and the volunteers. The mayor came and talked to us, and he had a story that is not uncommon. His parents were immigrants. He grew up, I forget what his branch library was, but that was his home away from home and his learning place. And he completely supported this new library. The a significant portion of the money came from the, I should have memorized the Calgary Municipal Development Fund. Yeah. Maybe that may not be exact, but that's the. And he was really behind them every step of the way. I think part of because of his own experience in the library. And I think another thing that really struck me is that they wanted to provide a surprising and joyful experience for everybody who walked in the door. And that included volunteer greeters, but it included the security staff. And it just, to me, this is one of my favorite metaphors, but it's like they were all in the same boat, they were all facing the same direction, and they were all pulling with their oars together. And you could really feel that there. So not only did they have a wonderful physical space, but the intellectual and emotional space was really striking there as well. And it was really impressive.
They talked about the fact that they started out by realizing two things, one of which Amy said, that if you're really going to be experimental, if you're really going to try stuff, then you have to embrace failure. But let's just do that from the beginning. And they also knew that they were going to have to spend a lot of time managing fear. And they talked about fear all the time. And so the main process they used in these sorts of things is saying, okay, how can we make reference better? And they would get the whole staff together and they do brainstorming and they pull out 5 or 6 of those ideas that they want to try. And they send each of those ideas out to a branch and they try it and they bring it back. They'd sit down with everybody again. And to do the process of deciding to do away with public service desks, how to do it, what to study, to use the vest, 1.5 years it took. And they met constantly and often about it. So it wasn't a short-term thing by any stretch of the imagination. But by the time they got to the end of it, as Amy said, they were all in the same place. And you could just feel the spirit of that in that library. So that's the sort of revolutionary process they were talking about.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
Just, just to show it wasn't a total Eden, they did get quite a bit of pushback on the vests. The staff did not want to wear, and I didn't see it in the picture, but in the back, there's some big yellow letters,
staff.
But it and you could understand how people kind of wouldn't be that excited about that. But in fact, they came to appreciate it. They don't have, people don't ask them, do you work here?
Yes.
Right, right, they know. And they get, I don't know if it's been quantified, but they get many, many more questions and interactions with the patrons because they're easy to find. And most of them like that.
As Amy said, and they said this many times, that their goal to each and every patron who walks in the door, every time, not just the first time, is to surprise and delight them. And they do that. I mean, that's just what their attitude is and how they greet people. We went to lunch at one place and sitting in front of the counter were library cards. Here's the Calgary library card, and on the back it says, free library card. Feed your body and your mind. Register your card at the Calgary library. Peel off and place the barcode here. The Beltliner was the restaurant, Calgary Public Library here. So everywhere we went in that town, there was library stuff. It was amazing.
I forgot to say, sorry, and I'll try and stop after this. One of the coolest things was there was a train, a metro that ran right near the library. So the first thing they did was build a platform under which the train can go. So the train actually runs underneath a portion of the library.
And stops there.
And stops.
Okay. It was a great conference. Thank you for sending us. It was marvelous. And we'll be talking more about it, I'm sure.
Well, we'll just ask a question.
Yes, you've got a question.
Thank you for going. And thank you for the presentation. And I hope the staff can see this. I think it would be tremendous if they could see it. But I have a couple of questions for you. Because this is, it's revolutionary in a number of ways.
Yep.
So I need to ask, how did you feel with the tremendous amount of change in technology and the utilization of staff, how staff are deployed, and in the atmosphere? That's question number one. How did you feel? Because none of what you shared there is traditional. So how did you feel in that environment?
Well, we were there only for 2 days, and it was very exciting. And we probably got presentations from probably 40 different staff members along the way. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the four administrators stood up and told us about these projects. It was, you know, if the change was in the reference department and the desk, then Anna was standing up there telling us about it because she had led that team. And if it was the checkout services and how they were getting books brought back and how they wanted to get more things to circulate by naming them different things, then Jay was talking to us about it. So so it was very exciting. And, you know, frankly, Judy, there were moments when I went, I don't think I would have done that. But I sure would have used the process to ask the question to get someplace. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's what it was, that they asked big library questions. They were not afraid to ask them. And they made some real changes based on that.
Well, what was your comfort level? Because, you know, when I look at that, I see new age kinds of stuff.
You know, I emailed home and said, I wish I was about 45 and had experience behind me so that I could go and work at this library for a while. It was very exciting to me. Because I think the library is the revolutionary institution it is because we change, we do things, we make ourselves useful to the communities we're in. And if we don't do that, we wouldn't have lasted. That's why the community loves us. And so I think this is just another way that highlights ways that we can keep asking those questions so we can keep changing.
Did anyone share how staff evolved to internalize and integrate the changes?
Well, they talked a lot about, as I said, you know, dealing with fear and they, the things like in every staff room, they had the wall of fear and the, you know, and they would post everything that had gone wrong as well as what was happening well. And they talked about like the jacket things that they worked. I mean, they finally decided that they were not going to have desks. They had to have something. Were they going to have hats? Were they going to have big lanyards, ties, lights, whatever, you know? And they decided, okay, they're going to have vests or something. They brought in like, they talked about, they brought in like 160 different kind of vests and jackets and let everybody try them on and vote on it and whatnot. And they didn't get 100% consensus, but they decided on something. And, you know, there were people at that point who were dubious about that, but they agreed to try it because they'd been through this. They loved it, and now, when we were there, the branches were all clamoring to get their jackets right, because right. it had changed the reception so much. You could be out on the floor. You could be there where people had questions. And it was seeming, you know, much more natural to them. That was a word one of the staff used to me. And that the first question wasn't, do you work here? And, you know, that was great.
Right. I don't know if somebody else had a chance, but did they increase staff? Were they losing staff? Because I know this is always a fear whenever there's change that you're going somehow or another, there's going to be a loss of a job. And when I look at this, this is pretty high tech from what you're saying, but I also see staff blending with the public. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to have a way to identify people who work there. So how?
The only answer I can say to that is that they've come far enough now that they're working on rewriting job descriptions because different jobs have changed and they realize the old job descriptions don't totally redo the new, but I don't honestly know if they, you know, you see the handwriting on the wall and you say, I'm not wearing a blue jacket no matter what they tell me. You know, do you switch to a branch for a while or do you just sort of get the picture and move on or whatnot? I don't know the answer to that question.
So
but I know from, I talked to a lot of staff. Whenever we had breaks, I would zip over and just, hi, I'm from California. How's it going? Do you like it? What's good? What's bad? And they loved it. They were a happy, happy staff.
So I'm not sure how it works in Canada, or at least in Calgary. Is it civil service? Is it? Are they
city
employees? Are they
city
employees?
No. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Or are they set? Or are they set autonomous?
They are members of the Canadian Union of Public Employees.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And Calgary is how large a city? Roughly, anybody?
It's Oakland size.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
536 employees, I think. Something like that.
536.
We need to go back and ask a lot more questions.
Well, we can look back.
Yeah. So, okay. Thank you very much.
It's impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Elliot, the director's report.
Yes.
You want to highlight?
I want to highlight a couple things, and then I want to mention something in addition. But first of all, there's some mention of the migration to Carlex. As you know, that date is nearing, July 1st. Actually, July 2nd is when we'll be open. And a reminder that we will be closed on June 30th and July 1st. And I wanted to extend an invitation to the board for the staff launch day that we're holding on July 1st. We will be closed for business on July 1st, but we will be staff will be present at the Central Library for all kinds of things, including some training, some development, staff development, and informational opportunities. We will be, from 9 to 10, I'd like to invite you as the board and or in, as individuals to come and have breakfast with us. It is, one thing I want to point out is that this will be, as far as I know, the largest, the first and the largest of our Green Mondays in the city of Berkeley, in which we will be serving only vegan food.
Yeah.
The city council passed an ordinance recently.
What, no butter?
No butter, no milk, no, yes. So it's been a very interesting experience for our staff who are planning this day, but also an opportunity to learn. And to try something new, and honor what the city council has passed. So we will have an interesting report after that, and you will be able to participate in that if you'd like at 9 to come to the Central Library on Monday, July 1st.
Okay. Should we let Eve know if we want to do that?
Yeah, I think that we'll be sending out out an invitation to you. But I just wanted to articulate that. And the other thing is that we've been participating, our staff, especially our man, the three people right here, everybody, all of the managers have been participating with others to develop a set of trainings for staff. And they start tomorrow and they extend through next week. And all staff, including intermittent staff who work with the integrated library system, will be participating in trainings over the next week and a half or so, as well as whatever we will be doing on the staff day, the launch day. So that's an exciting thing that we're going to be spending a lot of energy and time on over the next 2 weeks. Well, the other thing I think you all should have is the press release that went out today for Girls Get Coding. We're very excited to be able to provide. A couple things that I think we're really excited about is the fact that this is an opportunity for teams to teach other teams. Mm-hmm. To have developed skills and to share those skills is something we're really looking to do in library programming, especially for young people. So we're really excited about this opportunity, which starts on June 20th this month and goes through July. Any questions about the report itself? I'd be happy to answer. Okay.
All right, agenda building for the next meeting?
I will be proposing a change to the meeting room policy.
Okay, meeting room policy change. Can we get a report, Elliot, on the RFP for the firm that's to help us with the director search?
I think so. I don't think that would be a problem.
Okay, great. Yeah. Just an update on that.
Sure.
Okay.
The only thing I should say is I'm going to be out of town for much of the next month and not working.
Okay.
So if it's something that I need to directly work on, you want to refer something, I can't. I should really check with staff to see what she
good.
Can do.
All right.
So I'll let you know.
Let me know that. Very good. Okay, anything else? Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Go home and watch the Warriors game. The end of it.